Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Join us live for
Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. And you can see us and hear us all of our broadcasts at www.ctkr.org. Amen. That is our website. We definitely invite you there. We pray that you will become a vision partner and a prayer partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ all around the world. Amen. And for those of you that are right here in the Brevard County area, Poco area especially, please come live to our services. Amen. We start intercessory prayer on Saturday at 9 and intercessory prayer on Sunday at 8. The services are 9:30 on Saturday and 8:30 a.m. on Sunday. Our address is 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121, in the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida. Once again, that's 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121, Cocoa, Florida. Amen. We are expecting you. We love you, and we are expecting for God to show up. Well, we already know that God's going to show up, but once you reach, get into this house, amen, we believe that God's going to touch your life, amen, and that he's going to do a marvelous, marvelous thing, amen, for you to bring him glory, amen. And those are the announcements. Finally, before I forget, amen, on this morning, letting you know that we have some special events coming up. I want to invite you to my Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference, October 16th through the 19th. Amen. Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference, October 16th through the 19th. We will be broadcasting live on our shows. Amen. For those of you who are unable to join us, glory to God. But we have some powerful women of God coming through on those dates. Amen. You don't want to miss it. So it begins Thursday with the conclusion Sunday morning at 4 p.m. In November, we have set up our singles conference that's coming forth. And then finally, January 29th through February 1st, 2015, Joshua Generation Young Warriors Conference. You don't want to miss this time, amen, to just begin. The young people are going to handle the service, giving God all glory, all praise, all honor, amen. Powerful men and women of God are coming for preaching and teaching his word. Glory to God. Now, those are the final announcements and the events. You don't want to miss what's going on right here in Christ the King Redemptive Ministry. Amen. Now, that we have done all of that, let us prepare our hearts to prayer. And then immediately following prayer, the next voice you're going to hear is going to be praise and worship, followed by the word of God. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. And we thank you and we worship your holy name. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our King. Lord, we bless and we magnify and we glorify you for all that you have done. You are our keeper. You are our way maker. You are our deliverer, God. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you for the precious Holy Ghost. Thank you for saving our soul. God, we thank you and we worship you and we praise you. Now, we, your people, we're coming with our hands uplifted on this morning. We're coming with our hearts ready to receive. We're coming with our minds empty to give your name praise, glory, and honor, asking that you will fill every void that is in our lives in the name of Jesus. We come, God, humbling ourselves at your feet on this morning, asking for you to have your way in our lives, God. Move as you want to move. We ask, God, that you would begin to cause our will to line up with your will. God, for those of us who have been struggling, God, against what you have called us to, those of us who have been struggling, God, against what you have predestinated us to be, God, I'm asking in Jesus' name that you would begin to just remove our will, that our will begin to line up with your will. Help us, God, to begin to put away every excuse, put away every doubt, put away all unbelief. Help us to watch our conversations, Father, even as we begin to speak, so that bitter and sweet water will not come out of the same cistern. God, help us even now as we begin to go forth, change our mindsets, Father, how we see ourselves, how we think about things. how our emotions affect what we say, think, and do. Help us, God, to subdue the enemy that is within, God, as we nail it to the cross on this morning. In the name of Jesus, we plead the blood over the minds of your people. We plead the blood of Jesus over the hearts of your people. We decree it and declare it to be so, that we shall perform that which you have called us to do, that we shall walk in your statutes, that we shall complete the assignment and the task that you have on our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, even now I ask that you will begin to stir up the prophetic gifts on the inside of us. Oh God, I ask that you will begin to stir up the preacher, stir up the teacher, stir up the evangelist, God. Bring forth the signs, wonders, and miracles, Father, in the lives of your people, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we just bless you. We worship you, and we glorify your name. God, we thank you for the souls that you are sending in this house from the north, south, east, and west. God, we thank you for the men and the women that are coming forth in this house. We thank you for the sons and the daughters. We thank you for the married couples, the single couples. God, we thank you for every soul that you have predestined and assigned to this house in the name of Jesus. God, strengthen the man of God this morning. Strengthen me, God, this morning, that we will begin to carve out, that we will begin to teach and train, God, that they, your people, Father, into the things of this word, that they will begin to grow up and produce fruits in the spirit realm, in the name of Jesus. Father, we give your name all glory. You are this, nobody else like you, God. We worship your holy name. Even now, Father, I'm asking that you will begin to stir up on the inside of us a spirit of intercession. Wake up the warrior, God. Wake up the prayer warrior, Father, in the name of Jesus. Turn our tongue over, God. Help us to even speak a new tongue in the name of Jesus, a tongue of warfare, God, a tongue of warfare and worship. We bless your holy name, Father, in this mighty house, God. We thank you and we praise you. God, give us the boldness. Give us the boldness. Give us the boldness, Father, to begin to speak forth your word. Give us the boldness, God, that we begin to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. Give us the boldness, God, that we begin to live this life to be holy and righteous before you. Help us to live a lifestyle of holiness, God, a lifestyle of sanctification, Father. In the name of Jesus, turn us back, God, to prayer and fasting. Turn us back, God, to laying before you, Father. In the name of Jesus, seeking your face like never before. Wait until he answers, Jesus, that we have called upon you, because we know that you would do it. Increase our faith in you, God. Oh, yes, Father, we thank you now. We have the faith, but we lack the trust. Break the spirit of untrust in our lives in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we know that everything that you have given us is for our betterment and not for our evil, God. We thank you, God, for every test and trial, every challenge and every situation. You brought us through to a new place. That's how we know you even more. We bless your holy name, Father. We thank you now. Crown the pastor's head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Work forth in him a new level of anointing, God, in the name of Jesus. Work forth in him, God, a new sound that will speak forth to the nations. We give your name all the glory. We give your name all the honor. We thank you and we bless you for all that you have done. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen again. Hallelujah. Put those hands together. Give us the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There is none like you on all the earth, God. And we glorify you today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, once again, it's time for praise and worship. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. The Bible says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. I will enter his courts with praise. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made the plan. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together. God, we give you glory in this place. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We magnify your holy name today, God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, we bless your name. Hallelujah. And we glorify you today, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad to be in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Oh, Lord, I lift your name on high. How I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad, Hallelujah.
Glory to you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless your name, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Without God. Amen. Your destiny cannot be fulfilled without Him. Amen. Whatever step you take, every road that you travel, without Him, you are nothing. Amen. You didn't make it on your own. You didn't make the choices on your own. Without Him, you are nothing. That's why we must be desperate for Him. As the deer panteth by the water, so does our soul longeth after Thee, O God. Amen. And until you get that longer, that deep longing in your soul, amen, that there's nothing that you cannot do without Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let us put our hands together. Amen. For the praise and the worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's in that worship that Spirit of the Lord begins to minister unto you. If you will allow yourself to get into that place with Him, He will talk to you. He will attune His ear unto you and you unto Him, and He will begin to speak the very things that you have been asking for, praying for, seeking for, crying for, looking for a prophetic word for. Amen. How many of you know it's in the mouth of God? Hallelujah. Amen. It's in the spirit realm. But our job, amen, is to get into the worship, get into His presence. Amen. Get into His face. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I come into the household of faith, I don't come just to look around and see who's there and wave my hand at all my friends, but I come to receive a word from the Lord. Amen. I come to hear a prophetic word. I come to hear what my next move is. What is God saying for my life? What is God saying for my generation? What is God saying, amen, for the world? Amen. And not only that, what is God saying to me personally that I need to do so that I can continuously push forward and become more like Him? Hallelujah. It's not all about us getting things. Amen. But it's us becoming more like Him and demonstrating His love, demonstrating His power, demonstrating His faith, demonstrating His voice in the earth. Amen. The kingdom of God. That's what it's about. The kingdom of God and the anointing. amen, that must follow each and every one of us.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I thank God for his presence being in the room with us. Amen.
Yes.
I thank God for allowing us to share with him, amen, and him unveiling himself before us.
Yes.
Now, without any further ado, let us now prepare our hearts and our minds to receive from the angel of this house, none other than Apostle Christopher McQueen. Amen. Let's receive him.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord. This is your nigga saying, I expect something from God.
I expect something from God.
Come on, say again, I expect something from God.
I expect something from God.
Now put your hands together to give God this grief. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I am excited about what God is doing. Look at your neighbor and just say, get excited.
Get excited.
Come on, tell him again, get excited.
Get excited.
About what God is doing.
God is doing.
Amen. Amen. Listen, we have some things that are going on and some things that are coming up. And I just want you to get your hearts and your minds ready to receive from God. Amen.
Amen.
Knowing that God is going to do some exciting things for us. Amen?
Yes.
Now, what he's already doing is exciting. Amen. But something happens when the people of God begin to look at and trust in their God. Amen?
Amen.
And look at your neighbor and say, I expect grace from God.
I expect grace from God.
Amen. Now, there are certain things that we want to look at, certain things we want to get into. For this morning, and I thank God for those of you who are joining us and have joined us. This is indeed a time where we are preparing for God to take us to the next level. And I tell you, this is the season, amen, of kingdom connection, amen.
Yes.
Look at your neighbor and tell them, this is the season,
this is the season.
For kingdom connection.
For kingdom connection.
Now, maybe you don't understand what that means. What it is that God is about to do some things for us and through us, amen. And let me show you how that works. The enemy of your soul will have you think that you're out there by yourself. Nobody is there for you. No one is going to help you. No one could possibly in any shape, form, or fashion get with what it is you're trying to do. But I want you to know that God today is telling us that it is our time, it is our season to be blessed. Amen? And not only for us to be blessed, but for us to be the blessing that we are as his children. Look at your neighbor and tell them, you do know you are a blessing.
You are a
come on, just ask them that question again. You do know that you are a blessing. Amen. Too often we're running trying to get a blessing when God made us the blessing to bless others. Amen. Because what he told Abraham, he said, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Amen. So when he said that, and now we are heirs to Abraham, amen, and Abraham's seed through the blood of Jesus Christ, now that we have that, then we are the blessing, amen. And the families of the earth should be blessed through us. Now, if you don't understand that, then you'll go off trying to pay to get a blessing.
Yeah.
Amen. And you can't pay your way into heaven favor, amen.
Amen.
You got to be connected, amen. Look at it like this. If I am a royalty, then I don't have to pay to be royalty. I just am royalty, amen?
Amen.
A prince will just be a prince. Why? Born in. A princess will be a princess. Why? Born in, amen? You are a child of God. Look at your neighbor and say, I was born in.
I was born in.
And when you were born in, you simply accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And when you did so, you became part of the body of Christ. But greater than that, you became part of the family. Look at your neighbor and say, welcome, fam. Amen. I love that right there. It means I don't have to try to do anything to earn my way in. I'm in. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm in.
I'm in.
Amen. That's a good thing for you to understand. Now, it is at this juncture that we begin to look at the Word of God, and we begin to study some of the things here. And I was looking, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do here? Because we are in desperate need of an identity fix. Amen. Started with that, talking about our identity and everything. But I think we run into a couple of problems, and I'm going to attempt to complete where we were on tomorrow. But I have to make sure that we're ready for it today. Amen? We're going to 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. And we have to understand, if we were to go into a character study of King Saul, then we would see that there are certain things about him, amen, that made him a natural born winner, amen. But there are certain things about him that made him a natural born loser. And it is in those things that we need to take our study now. We need to characteristically look and see what it is that God is trying to say to us. Amen? When we go into 1 Samuel, we simply get to a place, amen, where we have to look here and see how he messed up. And as he messed up, then he pretty much had brought it upon himself.
Right.
Amen? Let's go to 1 Samuel 15:17. Amen.
Okay.
We're going to pick it up there. I want to begin to read it from the New King James Version. On the screen, you'll read it from the King James Version. Amen.
Amen.
And I want to make sure that while you're looking at it, you see 1 Samuel 15:17 verse. There you go. It is here that we begin to see part of the problem. And Samuel said, when thou was little in thy own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribe of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee, amen, king over Israel. Now, the thing is when we look at the very beginning of that, and Samuel said, when thou was little in thine own sight, amen. How many of you know that little vision will cause you problems in the long run? Amen. And you have to understand, God said some things about you, and when he spoke those things about you, he spoke them knowing who you were at the time he spoke it. I think too often what we forget is we forget that God knows us from the very beginning. The Bible says before there was a us, he had already named us, planned us, planned for us, given us assignments, given us anointings. Amen. We see that in Jeremiah, the first chapter, amen, 4:1. Before there was a you, I formed you, and I sanctified you, and I called you a prophet. God already knows everything there is about you before there was a you. See, your self-discovery does not preempt God's knowledge of who you already are.
Yeah.
And I said that again, your self-discovery, what you learn about yourself, does not preempt what God said to you about you. The assignment he's given to you is that assignment. And whether you like it or not, God is not taking your shortcomings into account. He's not looking at that because he already knows how he's going to develop you from the time that you heard the call to the time that you have to implement the calling. He knows what the process of your development is. So what happens is most of the time we hear that we have a call. It doesn't meet with what we think we can do, and we put the brakes on God. But what we're really doing is we're becoming disobedient. Look at your neighbor and say, don't be disobedient.
Don't be disobedient.
Come on, say, don't be disobedient.
Don't be disobedient.
Amen. Amen. If we do what we need to do, then we'll see that God has some stuff for us. Amen.
Yeah.
And if God has some stuff for us, then he already has planned for us to be successful. I shared this with prophets on yesterday. God never gives us an assignment that we can fail. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, God never gives us assignments that we can fail. Amen. So when we see that God never gives us an assignment that we can fail, then the first thing that God does is he begins to call us into development. Amen. Because if he calls us into development, then that means that we have to develop. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I must develop. See, where you started from, amen, and where you're going is two different places. Wouldn't it be terrible for me to leave from here in Florida trying to get to New York and stay in Florida saying I'm in New York? That's what happens when we begin to tell God that we don't need to develop in order to get to our destiny. Notice that the word destiny is part of destination. You see that? So what happens is a lot of times God says, listen, I want you to go from point A to point B. And we try to tell God why we can't make it from point A to point B. And we have every little thing. We have done our charts. We have got together, you know, all of our information and everything else. And as we begin to sit back and make excuse for not moving, God begins to tell us, listen, I knew all that stuff was there. And because I knew that was there, I charged you with certain things. I called you to develop. Amen. And when I called you to develop and I called you into process, all of that was to shore up insecurity. What it was to rub off what was rough on you. Amen. When you get to where you need to be at, amen, you will be fit together. Amen. You'll be able to slide right in there. We won't have to finagle it. We won't have to jump it in. We won't have to pound it in. You'll fit in. Amen. And the problem that some of you have right now is you don't understand how you fit in.
Yes.
But you haven't been processed fully yet. Amen. Notice what the workman does. The workman comes and he puts things together and he begins to look at it. He takes it off and he begins to sand certain parts. And he begins to look at it and begin to look at it and then get it together. And then he comes back and he lines it up and then he looks at it and then he works over here and then he begins. And when he finishes what he's doing, both pieces come together seamlessly. You can't tell where one stops and where the other one begins. Because when it's done right, it fits right.
Yeah.
You sitting over there trying to tell God what he already knows, but you are not the workman. You are the workmanship. Amen? So you have to allow God to make you. And the thing is, the enemy will remind you of how little you are. He'll keep talking to you and telling you that you don't measure up to nothing and you can't do anything. And the New King James Version is that, so Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, when you were small, when you were insignificant, when you didn't measure up to anything in your own eyesight. And let me just say something right here. That a lot of times you got to stop talking to yourself when yourself speaks against God. Hello, somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, sometimes you got to just shut up.
Sometimes you
got to
be quiet.
No, I didn't say be quiet because, see, sometimes we can't be nice about this. We got to say what it is. Look at your neighbor and say, sometimes you just got to shut up.
You got to shut up.
Oh, why you got to shut up? That's just mean. We don't, you know, shut up is a bad word. We try to say things nice. No, the problem is that the devil wants you to say stuff nice. He wants you to say stuff nice because when you say stuff nice, then you don't have to deal with the reality of what you're saying. Amen? You don't deal with the reality of what you're saying. You don't have to worry about the other issues that are going along. Amen? Huh? So when we begin to look at this, when we begin to see it, when we begin to see what he was saying, when you were small on your own eyes, look at this. Did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? In other words, God knew where he was going to set you regardless of what your qualifications were for your position. Amen?
Amen?
You ain't ready for, you not, it ain't mean that you ain't got to go up there or anything, huh? So, you know, at this point right here, you were placed in a place where God set you before you knew you were ready for that place.
Yeah.
Amen? Don't worry about that one. Nothing's going on with it, just this way. Amen? Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, God is doing something.
God is doing something.
I like the wording here, amen, in the Message Bible. Do we have a Message Bible back there?
Yes,
we have the Message Bible. Switch over to the Message Bible. Same verse. I think a lot of us would do better if we would simply get out the way and let God have his way.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Because when God does it, amen, thank you, here we go. When God does it, there is no room for you to think that maybe you did yourself. Look at these verses here. It says, and Samuel told him, when you started out in this, you were nothing,
yeah,
and you knew it.
I like that verse.
And you knew it. Can I say, prophetess, that too many people now have a problem, and that is that they think they something, and they know it. Saul, when he was nothing in his own eyes, he knew he was nothing. Let's go on back over here. Let me look at this right quick, because I want y'all to see this. 1 Samuel, the 10th chapter here. Let me get it for you. Let's go back to the 9th chapter. That's where I'm going. 9:2. Let's go on to 1. I'm going to make a point right here. Go back to the first one. First there. It says, 9:1, it says, there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Betrah, the son of Asaiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. Amen. So first of all, we're talking about somebody who comes from good stock. Amen. Everybody say mighty man.
Mighty man.
Say it again, mighty man.
Mighty man.
Amen. And look at this. Second verse said, and he had a choice son. Now, look at this. He had a choice young man, a goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodly person in his. Put that up in the Message Bible again. Let's look at it there. I want you to see this wording for who this man was. Amen. And he had a son, Saul, a most handsome young man. Everybody said he was good looking.
He was good looking.
Oh, yeah, he had no hurt spots on him. Amen. There was none finer. He literally stood head and shoulders above the crowd. In other words, he was something to behold. Now, let me show you this, because I want to show you how the enemy messes with you. First of all, you will grow up and be in school and be the finest thing walking. Everybody will be walking around you trying to figure out how, you know, they can come up and talk to you. When it comes to the homecoming dance, everybody wants to date you. When it comes up to all the rest of that, everybody wants you. Amen? Problem, you trying to figure out whose corsage you're going to accept. You walking around like you got watches on trying to figure out which, and they don't care because these what I'm talking about, I was able to. Okay, look, you were somebody, amen? Your intelligence was on a different level, amen? You were smart, you could throw the football, you could hit a baseball out the park, pop. He was the one everybody wanted to be around. When people thought of success, your name came up. We know because you show us the picture of to us in your yearbook. So most likely to succeed and be somebody, and your face up there with your teeth all bust out. Want to show everybody that you were somebody. You go off and do some other great things in your life. And in the secular world, you're okay. Your life at work, you're doing all the things, you're hitting every cylinder is hit. And then you get saved and you come to the household of faith, and God begins to tell you about the greatness that you've already demonstrated. He begins to tell you about what he wants you to do for him with the greatness that you're already demonstrating. You see that? But what we begin to do then is we begin to tell him how we never. And some of you need to go back and look at some of those old yearbook pictures, your eighth grade, seventh grade prime. Well, some of y'all might not need to go back there because it might be discouraging to where you are today. Amen. So back then, you was like this, and now you like this. Amen. You know, we don't know, huh? Life happens. Look at your neighbor and say, life happens. I'm saying that for somebody out there because you still live those glory years. We know because you still wear your high school jacket, varsity jacket that you got. If you're the female, you still put it on, trying to show people. When I was in college, I was the most liked, and I got the five state or whatever it is, and you still walking around like that. Every time something come up, you trying to show everybody, or whatever it is you're doing, you're trying to show somebody that, but you've been out of that for years. But that's still your glory days. When you go back to that, you see that you were somebody and you were doing something. Can I get an amen there?
Amen.
And then it comes down to where God tells you he wants to use you. And we talk about Saul here because Saul has the physical attributes of success. Tall, fine, handsome. He got it together. Amen. And when Samuel comes and speaks to him, the problem that we see here is that his outwork was right. His inward was tore up. Amen? That's why he kept trying to get the people to like him. Every time we see that Saul messed up, he talked about the people. What the people said, well, didn't God tell you to do? Yes, but the people. Amen? You see that? Now, let me share with you. Some of you think that the leader and leadership should be more sensitive to what you want. But I want to show you here that the problem with what you want is that sheep don't know how to find a pasture. But shepherds do. Amen? Huh? A sheep cannot go to battle. But warriors can. Y'all see what I'm trying to say to you?
Yeah.
There are things that we feel. Well, and couldn't we just say it in a nice way? No, there's a time, just like when I said, say, shut up. And y'all was like, be quiet. I said, no. Stop trying to lessen the blow. There's a time to give the blow, and then there's a time to take the blow, and then there's time to say, hold up on the blow. Amen? And if you are not mature and developed to the point where you know the difference between the three, you'll be striking when you should be saying. Huh? You'll be receiving when you should be giving. So the thing is that you have to look at all of this and develop into what God has for you, where God is taking you. And part of that is you have to allow your development. I keep going back to that point. Saul looked good on the outside, but he refused to develop on the inside. And because he was not developed on the inside, the first thing that we see him doing is trying to satisfy people who should have been satisfied in the first place. There I say here that they already had a problem because they rejected God as king. That's how he got there in the first place. Amen? So people who are not satisfied with God, listen to this, will never be satisfied with you. Oh, that'll preach all day long. Huh? If they are complaining at God and you are God's representative, they're going to complain at you. The difference between you and God is that they can reach out and touch you with their praise, their worship, but they can reach out and touch you with their flesh. If flesh like flesh. Y'all see that? I don't like the hit, I like the rub. So if you come and you hit me, I'm going to try to get the rub instead. And that's why people who become people pleasers are dangerous to kingdom of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You can't be a people pleaser and a God pleaser at the same time. Saul is the example of that. Here, when we get back to our text here in the 15th chapter, in the 17th verse, we see now that he has done some crazy stuff here. He's given an assignment to go and kill and utterly destroy, but he saved the king, King Agag himself, amen. The Amalekites should have been utterly consumed and destroyed, but he didn't do that. And look at this. This is why we start here. When you were little in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel, and did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now, the Lord sent you on a mission, 18th verse, amen, and said, go utterly destroy the sinners. Look at this. The Bible tells us that friendship with the world is an enmity to God, amen. You can never befriend something that God abhors. Huh? And too often what we try to do is become the friend of those who are friendless, but they're friendless because they're godless. Let me say that again. They're friendless because they're godless. Our job is not to go and tell God he made a mistake in unfriending them, like on Facebook, amen. That's not our job. Our job is to say, God, you are wiser than we are. Look what he told them when they came out, the children of Israel came out to go to Canaan. He said, utterly destroy everything in the land, or else they will lead you away after their own God. How many of you have... How many of you have been led away into some stuff? Oh, just say amen and don't point it out. I know you weren't supposed to be over there, but my friend asked me if I can. Then you are in the middle of some mess. Led away? That's why he tells us, you know, we're not supposed to be unequally yoked. And I don't have time to get into that because sometimes unequally yoked ain't a sinner. It's a saint that can't believe what God said for you. Amen? So sometimes we have to understand that these people here that he didn't destroy were part of his downfall. And it would be for you as well. When God said, let it go, let it go. Look at your neighbor and say, if God said, let it go,
let it go.
He said, go and utterly destroy the sinners and the Amalekites and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? See, sometimes when we begin to look at what's going to be consumed and destroyed, we start thinking in our own eyes how good it is and how we should try to save it. And maybe we can just say that because we have some single people here right now. And the problem that we have with them is that you are trying to be saved in single. What's the name of that single conference?
Successfully single.
Successfully single. The problem with some people who are trying to be successfully single is that they're trying to be successfully single and successfully attractive.
Wow.
You're trying to pull it in. Essentially, when people see that you have, you are. Brothers come to church, you know, with two tight shirts on so you can see the cuts and the creases. You know, and they're trying to catch you, and you try to fall out to see if there's strength there or if that's a bag. We have seen some stuff, haven't we? We have seen some people fall. The brothers come up there trying to catch the sisters, and he ain't even laid hands on you, you back in his arms. So he's like, get up, we ain't touched you yet. See, we see all of this, amen. Why? I wish one of my armor bearers would show up with a muscle shirt on. You're going to find out physical strength can do you nothing against the spiritual mind of God. Sisters coming in, and you know that you got to push stuff and squeeze together, and we can see from the top of the we shouldn't be able to look at all that, amen? Look at your neighbor and say, some stuff needs to be covered up. You know, you try to wear one of those dresses that cling, and then you got to get out there and shout, making sure everybody can see. Wait a minute, hold on. All this stuff shouldn't be, amen? Well, I get over here dealing with that. It needs to be dealt with because we got too much mess going on in the church. Listen, if you want to be successful and single, you have to learn, first of all, that success comes from loving God and following after him. When I found prophetess, I wasn't looking for her. Y'all heard the testimony before, and if you haven't, here it goes again. We was in worship, coming down out of worship, when the Lord showed me her and said, that's your wife. Now, you can't find what God hid for you in him unless you get in him seeking him. Can I show it to you? What God does is you're focused on him, and God brings what you desire in him into perfect alignment, so you see him while you're searching for him. I wasn't looking for her, but she was seeking him, and he moved in such a way that our fight crossed. And when she got here, he said, that's your wife. Now I can focus here, because while I was looking for him, I could see her. You see it? That's why a lot of people, you talking about, he that find a wife, well, I got to be foundable. No, no, you got to be shitting him. Where's your worship? Where's your service? Where's your secret? Lord Jesus, I wish I could preach. The thing is how you serve God is how you want to serve your man. How you serve God is how you want to serve your woman.
Wow.
Don't tell me you love God. And you have time with that, because when you love your wife, you're going to... Huh? Oh, this is good. It's free, but it's good. Huh? Don't tell me you love God and you know, I just... And then, because if you love God and you sometimes love him, then when you get married and you talk about you love him, when times get tough, when it becomes a demand upon you and on what you're doing, then it's going to be like... You understand? All of this right here in your service to God is how you would treat the one that you ultimately will spend more time with. Because your relationship with God is not a quick overnight stay. It is a lifetime commitment and development. Oh, this is good for you single people today. Amen. The spoil. God told you, leave him alone, and you are trying to go out after the spoil. Leave him alone, walk away, stop looking at them. It's not my choice. Disconnect. They fine. Okay, they can be fine, but they're going to lead you into some problems. Okay, I tell you what, if you go to the club with me, I'll come to church. Woo, you don't come to church. No, we don't come to church. And when he comes to church, he ain't coming for the right reason. He ain't coming to get his life changed, because his life the way it is allows him to talk into your ear things that cause you to jeopardize or compromise your Christian. Jesus, help us today. I'm talking about the females, but the men are just the same. I would say it worked, but I ran into some woman who put some men to shame. Amen. Talking about, ooh, I don't know, I know. I got to keep my reputation. Baby, your reputation was dead a long time ago. Amen. We're going to leave that alone right there. Amen. Just the spoil cannot cause you to miss God and do evil in his sight. Look at what Saul says, 21st. Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back King Agag. He just right there and brought back King Agag. You just condemned yourself, okay? You convicted yourself because it was going kill. And you just said, but I brought back King. And look what he says on after that. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. And then he gives the but. The word but means everything I said prior to this don't matter. This is the real. But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen and best things in which they have been utterly destroyed. The sacrifice to the Lord, your God, at your God. In other words, I couldn't do that. That's my boo. That's my bae. Okay, your boo and your bae is going to lead you into a hell flame.
Oh,
amen?
Jesus.
If it causes you not to give a true witness of Jesus Christ and tell them that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, then you have a problem right now. Amen?
Nobody's so cute that I can go burn for you. I'm sorry. Look at your neighbor and say, you ain't cute enough to burn for.
You ain't cute enough to burn for. Oh, amen.
So Samuel said, have the Lord break delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Huh? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed better than a cataract. Amen. Let me say something right there before I go on to the next one. Amen. The thing is, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken or to heed. It's better than a fat around. In other words, your intentions do not measure up to obedience when you're disobedient. I don't care what he is trying to accomplish here. He messed himself up when he did not obey God. Brothers and sisters, you will mess yourself up when you think you know better than God. Or when you think God don't know the full of the situation. I'm befuddled just thinking about the fact that somebody would think that an all-knowing God could have a place of deficiency of knowledge. How can an all-knowing God be anything but all-knowing? That means that you can't explain your side because he knew your side when he gave the command for your obedience.
Right.
And to heed, sometimes when you get instruction, the instruction is given to you for today for a reprieve on a tomorrow. What I'm saying. Sometimes God tells us stuff to do today that will alleviate a pain or suffering tomorrow. Do this today. You may not like it. May not be comfortable, but do it today because tomorrow you're going to need to have it simply. It's going to bless you. It's going to take care of itself. You're going to be able to look back to see hindsight is 20/20. Foresight is faith. Huh? Let me say that again. Hindsight is 20/20. Foresight is faith. When you hear something to do and you do it, then you see as you look back over your life how it was God's will and the blessing for your life. But when you don't have that obedience and that heeding, then you go through and try to make cuts and corners and make provisions for your flesh. You see that? And when you look back over your life, you think, well, I should have. How many of y'all have a will I should have? Don't put your hands up. It's incriminating. Well, I should have did it like that, but I did that at the time. You lack faith. Foresight. You lack faith. You see that?
Yeah.
But you can clearly see how that should have been done. Now, it's the key better than the fatter end. I don't care what your intentions were when you disobeyed. It was still wrong. And it's still a problem. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. I ain't stubborn, I just see it this way. I don't think I need to be doing it that way, because that's not the way it's going. Stubbornness and rebellion, witchcraft, idolatry. I ain't no witch, you know. Leave that alone right there, because we ain't got time to deal with it. I want you to know that God has some stuff for you that he has placed there for your benefit, and the enemy of your soul will hope that your flesh always trumps God's word. So when God speaks to you, the enemy begins to remind you of things in your past when you were small in your own eyes and begin to tell you how you couldn't do what God said. Looking for approval, he gets into problems after this. Amen. Saul does when Samuel's dead and hoping that he could please the people and get some information, he goes and looks for a soothsayer or someone to do a medium. Amen. Say,
that's real.
Yes. Stop playing with the devil, because he didn't come into this as a game. Amen?
Amen.
This is real, brothers and sisters. God's trying to get us to a place where we know him and we know who we are in him. And stop making these little mistakes that instruction have already been, you've already been told. You just don't want to follow it because it's incriminating. God wants to bless you. Look at your neighbor and just tell him, God wants to bless you.
God wants to bless you.
Say it again, God wants to bless you.
God wants to bless you.
Now, we're going to pick this up tomorrow morning and conclude this matter. Amen. Because our identity in him has to be instilled in our faith in him, the assignment that he created us for. Amen. Maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sins. I pray right now that you will pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, I pray that you would lead them to a Bible-believing, a Bible-teaching ministry where they may be lifted up and be matured and developed. I pray for those who are sick, shut in. Lord, I pray for those who need a miracle performed in their lives, deliverance and healing that manifests. Lord, do the work. Release your angels to touch and minister to them now, to the need, so that you get the glory out of their life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There, learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us and help us to spread this gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. We're looking forward to ministering with you tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m. Join us for the Christ the King Redemptive Ministry worship experience with none other than myself, Apostle Christopher McQueen, along with Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We love you and be blessed in the name of the Lord. Come on, let's give God a praise.
Hallelujah.